Hi, this is Randall Schwartz, host of Floss Weekly. This week, Aaron Newcomb joins me. We're going to talk about Bro, the security software that watches your network looking for interesting things. You're not going to want to miss this, so stay tuned.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Floss Weekly is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This is Floss Weekly with Randall Schwartz and Aaron Newcomb, episode 296, recorded on May 28th, 2014. Bro. It's time for Floss Weekly, the show about free, Libre, open-source software. I am your host, Randall Schwartz, Merlin at StoneAge.com, bringing you each week the movers, the shakers, the big projects, the little projects, projects you may be using every day and never heard of, projects you haven't heard of but now want to start using every day. Joining me this week again, no exception, is, there's exceptions to when he's joining me, but I usually have a co-host this week. It's Aaron Newcomb. Aaron, welcome back.
Hey, I made it after all of that in the out, back and forth. Here I am. Yay.
Yeah. Like I keep saying, they apparently let anybody run this show because they keep letting me do it. And I stumble over myself. So, Aaron, your background looks familiar. Are you at the Brick House again?
I am at the Brick House, yep. And I'm sporting my new Twit T-shirt, which is very nice. Oh, there we go. Yeah, the new Twit design on the T-shirts and sweatshirts and stuff. So, it's very cool. It shrunk a little bit in the wash, so I'm feeling a little bit like, I really should have worked out a little bit more. Because either that or I need a bro right here. Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute.
You get to that in a minute, right. And I am, of course, coming to you. People that recognize the tree behind me in the video. Yes, in fact, ZipRecruiter has given me the high bandwidth room this time instead of like last week where I was kind of just pulling teeth to make it work. So hopefully I won't pop out of this particular show as I might have, although you wouldn't notice it in the edit because the edit was such a wonderful job. Anyway, so we have this week, Aaron already alluded, we have this show called Bro. We have a project called Bro. It's the Bro Security Monitor or whatever their official name for it is. I can't find it. Bro Platform, Bro Everything. It seems like I've used things that are IDSs before, intrusion detection systems, but this seems to go even way further than that. It's got more analysis, more real-time analysis. And it also seems to be coming out of both the open source community and I still have my sound on my machine and also research. So getting things to be done even better. So it looks complex. So it looks like it would be very. It might have a bit of a steep learning curve, but maybe we'll get these guys to explain why it doesn't have a steep learning curve. Oh, these guys. Yes, we have on the show Liam Randall, who is the lead trainer and community coordinator, and amongst many other things, and Seth Hall, who appears to be one of the lead engineers. What do you know about this so far, Aaron?
Not much. I mean, I've used these things before. I've used very, not IDSs necessarily, but things like Wireshark and things like that to try to figure out what's going on in my network occasionally when I have problems. In fact, I had a problem with Comcast just the other day where I thought someone was doing a denial of service attack on me because all of a sudden my bandwidth would just go down to like 1 megabit a second from like 20. And so I had to call them up and figure out what was going on. But it sounds like maybe I could have used this actually to figure out what was going on. So I can't wait to talk to our guests and figure out, is this something that I could use? Or maybe it's just something for, large corporate enterprises to use. I don't know.
Yeah, and the closest I have to actually using something like this is I was going to install Snort on my client's machine, and I figured out how to install it. But then it was like, okay, now configure it. And I went, well, what do I want it to do? And doesn't it have like a nice default configuration where it starts to watch things? So that's the kind of stuff I'm going to want to be asking these guys today. So anyway, without further ado, let's go ahead and bring on Liam Randall. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
Cool. And where are you speaking to us from?
Today I'm coming to you from Cincinnati, Ohio, which is where I'm based out of. Although typically I'm on the road quite a bit.
Cool, cool.
I'm from Cincinnati originally, just so you know. I lived there for 20 years, so.
Yeah, very nice. I'm a transplant, but it's a wonderful family town. So I've got a wife and three kids here. We're very happy.
Awesome. Have some Skyline for me.
I will do.
Oh, yeah. I remember that stuff. Whenever I stopped over in Cincinnati Airport, that was really good stuff. Oh, so let's also bring on Seth Hall. Seth, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Great. And where are you speaking to us from?
Actually, Columbus, Ohio.
So similar, you're close. Is that a short drive? I can't remember the geography.
It's almost 3 hours. It's not too far.
Okay. Not really short drive then. Okay. Let's go back to Liam just for a second here. Why don't you give us the 30,000-foot view of what problems Bro is solving?
So the Bro platform is really sort of a free-form network analysis tool. So you had mentioned security in the opening, and while security is the most common thing that people are using the Bro platform for, Bro has a lot of use cases in network monitoring, vulnerability detection, compliance, and so forth. It really is a very powerful freeform system that allows you to understand the ground truth of what's going on your network. You essentially have a lot of protocol analyzers that plug into your network, much like Wireshark would, except we run it real time and at scale, and you can develop little applications that are just written in the Bro programming language, and then run them on your network. And these applications can do a variety of things. Bro comes included in Security Onion, which is how a lot of people get initial exposure to it. But it is BSD licensed, and anyone can download and run it. It's a very, very powerful tool, and it gives you the absolute ground truth of what's going on in your network.
And how did Bro get started?
The history of Bro dates... Oh, go ahead, Seth. Why don't you take that one?
Yeah. About 20 years ago, 19 years ago this year, actually, Vern Paxson at Lawrence Berkeley National Lab was dealing with an incident there, and he realized that the tools that he had at hand didn't really do what he needed to deal with the incident. So what most people that I've found in Berkeley, at least, tend to do is the first step to solving a problem is you write a programming language to solve that problem in. And so he started writing a programming language. And that's sort of, in one way, that's what Bro is a programming language. But it's a programming language that we've then built into a platform. So it is actually a very old project in many ways, and we've been working the last few years to do a lot of updates to it to make it not feel old. And most people actually don't know that it's that old. That was what its original sort of progeny was. Was actually in response to the need to really deeply look at network traffic when there were no tools that existed to do that in any real way.
So Bro has a built-in programming language that I was staring at for a while. I went, okay, I'll learn another language. Oh, well. But no, I'm sure that makes it powerful because it's a domain-specific language, and when you can get that kind of optimization, then general-purpose programming languages tend to fall apart when you're trying to do very specialized tasks. So the programming language you said was sort of the crux of it initially, but what has it expanded into now?
Well, what it really ended up expanding into was, so you can think about 10 places. So, like, for instance, I used to work at The Ohio State University, and one of the things that I used to do there, one of my pet projects, was to try and get all of the other Big Ten schools to run Bro. Because it's really hard to monitor these enormous networks. It's just a very, very difficult task generally, because you can't like run Wireshark on them, and it's frequently hard to run anything on them. But then also to do really kind of interesting detections on top of them is just infinitely harder. But there's this trick. Well, if I can convince all of these schools to run this programming language that has all this capability, what I can then do is actually write something for me locally at The Ohio State University and then say, hey, everybody, I wrote this thing. You conveniently are running the same platform as me, so now you can get that same benefit without having to do anything. But it could be a very complex detection. It could be a very complex detection that actually requires a lot of packets, or you know, it could be that it takes an hour for all the conditions to line up just right and say, ah, this thing is happening. So it actually gives you sort of this platform for distributing these complicated and sort of interesting and novel detections, which is not easy in very large environments.
Let's get a little more concrete about the kinds of things you're detecting, because you keep talking about these wonderful detections, but what would be a typical example of something I might want to be watching for?
So one thing that I ended up doing at The Ohio State University, so a lot of like the actual operational things that I wrote were originally done there because I was on the incident response team and I was very actively working to defend the university. So one of the concrete examples was SQL injection detection. I know other tools do this, and I feel pretty confident other tools do it better. But one of the things that's interesting about the way Bro does it is it has this really big regular expression that matches URLs that typically will be matched for SQL injections. And what we actually do is we don't say like, oh, we saw one URL that looked like an SQL injection. We say, okay, that's great that there was one. What's actually interesting is not the fact that someone came in and said, test for an SQL injection. What's interesting is that they came in and said, test for an SQL injection. Now test to see how I exploit it, which could involve a lot of requests. Then they say, now let's go and extract data, which could involve a very large number of requests. And so what's actually very interesting is that it's a lot of connections. So it's not just one connection you're watching for, but it could be thousands of connections. And it's not even connections between two particular computers. It could be lots of hosts all doing these requests, and you can still actually detect it. But it's because the script is watching for things in ways that aggregates the data in just the right way to say, oh, this host is being attacked. And it's just a bro script. There's nothing special about it in the core.
Hey, Randall, before we move into some specific detections, I think it might be helpful if the listeners understand a little bit more about the need for this domain-specific platform, you know, something that's just designed to understand all the traffic on your network. If we stick with security as the first use case, and you think about the two classic approaches, you would have signature-based detection, which is finding the bad things we know about, and you'll have anomaly-based detection, which is using, you know, these mathematical models to sort of understand how devices are working on your network. The hardest part about Bro is really just understanding that it's a completely different approach to the entire space. You know, at a fundamental level, it's a completely novel idea. And the idea is just that you cannot secure something or understand something unless you can access or look at all of the traffic on the wire. So when you're using Bro and this Bro programming language, this domain-specific platform gives you the ability to look at all the rich protocol metadata. You know, who's speaking, what protocols are they speaking, dynamically understand what protocols they are, but also the contents of those packets. So when you think about developing applications, if you want to look at, say, files, there's literally a new file event that just fires. And that event fires for all of the files in any protocol. If you care that this was a file that came in over, say, HTTP or IRC, then you care about it in the first line. You would just say, well, if the file is from HTTP, and then if you wanted to, say, only look at post requests, you could say then if it was a post request, then do, say, extract the file or inspect the contents or whatever. So even though you have this programming language, but this programming language is very, very high level, and it gives you the ability to set policy and abstract away from the underlying network details. Bro ships with support for IPv6 and abstracts away from all the different layers that you would typically find in traffic. You know, whether something was in a GTP tunnel or a Teredo tunnel or, you know, SOX proxy, Bro can statefully open up and understand all of those things and give the network operators the capability to look at them at any level.
So, Liam, I mean, so I'm starting to understand. At first, I couldn't understand why there was you guys had your own language. Now I'm kind of starting to get it. But does this also interface with other languages? Do you have a Perl module? Do you have other ways to interact with it?
There is an API so that you can hook Bro events in another language. But more fundamentally is this idea that Bro is this language that's event-based, and it's driven forward as things happen on the wire. So if, for example, as just a parallel, you've ever programmed for a GUI, you know, you would want to know when a user clicks a button up here. So you could say, on click, do X. So in network traffic, in this event-based platform that we have, the Bro platform, as things happen on the wire, for example, when there's a new HTTP request, there's an event. And you can say, whenever there's a new HTTP request, go ahead and do X, whatever X would be. So by default, you know, we ship Bro with this base configuration that is sort of appropriate for all environments. And one of the big things that Bro does is it writes this sort of structured log, this sort of ground truth that describes everything that happens on all the protocol analyzers that we speak. So you can literally, you know, go to this log and say, well, here was all the stuff that happened in all the HTTP connections that happened inbound and outbound over time. But that is definitely not Bro. Those are just Bro scripts that are writing those logs out. The real power is up a level in the programming language. When those things are happening in real time, you can choose to inspect the entire connection or just some subset of it.
So if I wanted to implement this, so you've already answered one question for me, which is it's really intended for larger network use, you know, like you say, where you're not going to run Wireshark on every client. But I'm curious, like, where does this need to live and what security do I need to open up in order for Bro to see what's going on in the network?
So here's the real beauty of Bro, and this is actually one of its most powerful features, is that we are inspecting the network and the traffic at its most common point, at the protocols that we've already standardized on. You know, if you look at the devices that are in your pocket, right, this phone can talk to the same web server as your computer. Why is that? Because we've standardized on the protocols. So what you do with Bro is that you pick a key transit point, say the uplink between your network and the internet, or behind a VPN, or in front of your key server farm, and you give Bro a tap of both the RX channel, so the transmitted and the receive, and both sides of this data go into the Bro sensor, and it can understand both sides of the conversation. And as these events go back and forth, as a client says, hey, web server, give me this HTTP, you know, give me index.html. And then the server responds. These events are firing back and forth in Bro. And Bro keeps track of these conversations as it goes along. And in real time, as the conversations happen, you can then statefully sort of interact with the various levels. Does that installation method make sense?
I think so, but I just want to clarify. So does it actually act as a gateway in between?
It does not. We are a passive technology.
Okay.
There are Bro scripts that can reach back into the network and do things like active response, where you're inserting ACLs or doing a BGP null route or whatever the case would be. But we are a passive technology. You know, we're not operating as a gateway device.
Right. So I've got a couple more questions now about implementation, which is. Do I need multiple boxes on my network then? What's the limiting factor? Am I sitting on a particular subnet, or, you know, how many of these, I forget what you called them.
Essentially, the model is that you map a certain amount of traffic in megabits per second to a CPU core. Now, that traffic can be sourced from a variety of locations, and a common deployment scenario will be taking a traffic aggregating device like an Arista switch with DANs, or a GigaView or an Inui, and aggregating multiple network links into one feed that comes into Bro. Essentially, you're limited by the amount of work that you want to do on the traffic. It's not a straightforward measurement, though, of at a certain megabits per second, you need, Y or X number of CPU cores, because there's this separate Z-axis of what kind of traffic am I looking at? How deep are the policies that I'm running? How many policies am I running on the traffic, and so forth? So, but generally, you can think of it as a simple matrices and say that, for every 250 megabits per second of traffic, again, that's a big rule of thumb there. There's a lot of variabilities that go into it. You would want one CPU core for a variety of policies that are running on it.
Right. Yeah.
Speaking to that same point, I can also add that we actually have people that are running Bro on things all the way from Raspberry Pis, which I don't recommend because they really don't have very good throughput, all the way up to people that are monitoring 16 gigabits per second of traffic in a deployment, which takes a lot of physical hardware, but it scales to that level.
Right. And is the problem there's obviously a CPU issue, right? Because depending on how much you're monitoring, you're going to have to analyze all that. That happens in CPU and memory level. But then is there a disk I/O issue because you're capturing all this information as well?
Well, usually
there's not that much of a problem. I haven't run into people that have had really major issues with that, because most operating systems will play so many games with buffering rights and stuff like that your logging rate will, even if it's extremely high in terms of tens of thousands of log lines per second, which is what the high volume sites will see, in terms of disk I/O, it's still not that bad.
Right.
I mean, it's not like just full out, writing straight off of one disk onto another or something.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's been my experience in the past, too, is that typically with this, it's not like you're running an Oracle database on the box, right? So you're typically not seeing those disk I/O issues. But I'm curious, too, what about security? Like, if I'm running a secure web server, for example, or if I'm running an encrypted channel out to a VPN outside the network, what can Bro do for me there?
Bro's actually going to be watching the SSL or TLS, whatever you want to call it, And it's actually going to be analyzing that as far as we can, for whatever that means. It'll actually keep an SSL.log, and in the new 2.3 release that we just released the beta on, and the final should be coming out before too long if there's no major problems. There are you'll get an X509 log where we're actually looking into the certificates that are transferred over SSL and digging some information out of them, like if we actually do certificate validation, for instance. So if you actually do a connection to https://microsoft.com, Bro will typically, with the default deployment, actually validate the certificate on Microsoft's site and tell you if it's valid or not in the log. And it's doing the actual cryptographic validation that you would expect for validating certificates. But yeah, it's not going to actually be able to dig into the content. And it sounds like, by the way, that the SSL and TLS implementers are going, implementation discussions are going to IETF, that's unreasonable that'll even be possible in the future.
So Aaron, let me expand on that a little bit further. So Seth mentioned when you initiate an SSL TLS transaction, the X509 certificate is exchanged in the clear. So let's say, Aaron, you're the server and I'm the client. We shake hands, we say, hey, let's speak SSL TLS, and we exchange this certificate. This certificate has loads of metadata in it. So it has domain names, possibly IP addresses. We strip all of that out and feed that into our variety of frameworks and logs. But there's also a separate protocol validation that's happening in real time. So for example, with the recent Heartbleed vulnerability, there is a Heartbleed event that happens in Bro. So let's say we're speaking SSL TLS, and I'm the client, I try to attack you with that vulnerability. That vulnerability can happen either in the clear or encrypted. In either case, we can tell you when a successful version happens. And if it's in the clear, I can tell you when an attempt happens. So, you know, this nice thing about Bro is that we have these protocol analyzers in there that are stateful. So when we are tracking an SSL TLS transaction, we are validating that it is following the spec, even though with the case of SSL TLS, we are not decrypting the tunnel itself.
Right, right. Now, what about what kind of platforms do you support? What do you typically run on? Can I run this on FreeBSD, Unix? Is it more the Linuxes, so Red Hat or Ubuntu?
FreeBSD and Linux are the primary platforms that we support. We kind of support Mac OS X because several of us use that for development. So it always ends up working there because we use it to develop on. But Linux and FreeBSD.
I went to the download section. I don't see packages necessarily, just a tarball. Is that so? It's fairly easy to install. Oh, there's binary package. I didn't scroll down far enough.
There's also some nice documentation for cloning right out of the Git repo. If you go to bro.org and click documentation, you'll see that right at the top there are links to three different versions of the manual. There's a version for the current release of Bro, which is 2.2. There's a release that is essentially built off of Git master. And then there's a release separately linked for the new Bro 2.3 beta. So at this point, I would very strongly recommend that people that want to play with it themselves use the Bro 2.3 beta. There are some really great improvements and features that we've added since Bro 2.2, although Bro 2.2 still has some remarkable features if you've never used Bro before.
Hey, so I just actually looked into Mac ports and I saw that it was there in source form. Would this make sense to install on my laptop if I just wanted to see if I was trying to be attacked since I'm on the internet?
You could. I'm not sure. It's interesting at the very least. So if nothing else, running it on your laptop is sort of interesting in that it tells you at least what the passive monitoring of your network traffic is going to be exposing for people. One of the ways we've actually started introducing Bro to people who have never heard of it before, and this is an incredibly high level perspective and kind of naive because it goes a lot deeper than this. But if you just download it and run it, one of the things it does is it turns network traffic on one side into a database on the other side, which is very convenient because suddenly it takes this big mess of data. Because if you just have packets, it's really messy, hard to understand what's going on, even in Wireshark, which is great. And I actually use Wireshark a lot, so I'm certainly not complaining about it. But it still gives you a packet perspective, which is too much data to really consume if you have any significant number of packets. But then on the other side, Bro is actually outputting essentially a database. So a connection happens between two hosts, and Bro watches it, and then when the connection's over, writes out one line in a log file that is tab delimited, so it's very easy to read. And we actually have mechanisms for writing out directly to Elasticsearch, and you could technically write logs out directly to an SQLite database. So the logs can literally say network traffic to a database.
But Randall, just to emphasize the answer to your question here is that Bro is designed really to be operated by your network personnel or your security team on some type of aggregate tab monitor. That's really what it's designed for. Now, don't get me wrong. I run Bro on my house, which means that, children, if you're watching, you're not going to get away with anything. but you know, I do that for as much testing and QA as anything. Although I do have, you know, I think some very serious security concerns. You know, given the fact that you know, in being involved in a very high profile security program, there are people that are constantly trying to fish out information and so forth.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I thought as a use case, though, would be if you say this can detect the heartbleed thing, could it have detected it from my end if I was being vulnerable to that? I mean, if I was being snarfed by that?
Yeah, it'll actually tell you if someone's attacking you, or if you have SSL services, obviously. It'll tell you if someone's attacking you, and at least for unencrypted ones, it will tell you if someone definitely was successful. But for encrypted attacks, it'll tell you if something was likely to be successful, because there is a heuristic there. We can't tell with 100% certainty, but yeah,
well, I'm thinking that's
built into the 2.3 beta.
I was thinking watching the outbound traffic, though, like if I'm visiting websites that I see, because I'm not actually generating heartbleed when I'm just visiting sites.
Yeah. So there is actually a trick a trick where servers can attack if you. So say you run wget or curl or something, and you go to a site. Those use OpenSSL, so as a client, you can also be vulnerable. And I believe Bro detects that too. I'd have to check with the guy that wrote that, but it is possible for servers to attack clients. It's a lot less likely, but it's still certainly possible.
Interesting,
and that's at least detectable also.
You can also detect. You would be detecting. All the browsers do this anyway. You could also be detecting bad certificates and stuff, right?
Yeah. So if someone visits a site that the certificate is not valid by one of the root CAs, according to Mozilla, there's actually a notice about that, and it'll tell you, and you can have it email you if there's an invalid certificate that's seen.
So back in looking at how this is deployed, so I would have one or more things that are actually on the wire capturing these things. Is it capturing 100% of the traffic and feeding that to some CPU, or Are my Bro rules pushed down into the filtering software so it only has to capture things of particular interest, or somewhere in between?
It has to capture everything. There used to be the world used to be different years ago, and there used to be a lot of filtering put in place. So Bro had like an HTTP analyzer. So there were BPF filters put in place so that only stuff that was likely to be HTTP traffic was passed through. But I think in 2003 or 2004, Robin Summer, the current lead developer on Bro, he did a paper where he actually did this thing called dynamic protocol detection, where Bro actually started detecting, for example, HTTP on any port. Mm. And it took a while, but eventually we sort of flipped things around where now the idea is to not filter anything, because you honestly can't tell ahead of time what's interesting and what's not. Unfortunately, you could see HTTP on any port, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm. So in a segmented network, you'll obviously have to have more than one tap, more than one gathering device. Does it get filtered locally there before sent to some sort of central aggregation area?
That's getting pretty deep into deployment issues. That could be an entire day's discussion.
This may be about as deep as I'm taking it, though.
Yeah, deployment issues are frequently something that is going to be different for every single site, and it could be that you run Bro boxes watching the traffic at choke points internally in your network, and then also ones at your border. So you just sort of find these choke points, and you could put boxes all over, or you could have some sort of monitoring infrastructure that's monitoring all of those and centralizing them all back and aggregating them together and load balancing out to a bunch of physical bits of hardware. So yeah, it's unfortunately deployment issues for almost any large scale network monitoring are just really complicated.
Hey, Randall, let me throw out another a deployment scenario for you, though. A very useful task that I commonly use Bro for is just for analyzing PCAPs. If you're just looking to get your feet wet with Bro, download and install it on your local workstation. There are wonderful instructions right at bro.org. And take the PCAPs that you're using as part of your normal IR process and replay them through Bro. One of the things that convinced me that Bro was the future of the space was that it started to become, before I was on the Bro core team, the first tool that I turned to. It became, you know, my if you're a golfer, you know, like a 7-iron. I'm not a golfer, so I don't know if a 7-iron is your appropriate tool of choice. Maybe your chef knife in the kitchen. That would be a better analogy for me, maybe. The first tool that you grab when you have a problem, because Bro can sort of lays out the landscape. You know, tells you, you know, who are all the hosts that are involved in the communication by default? What protocols are they speaking? What ports are they speaking it on? In the default logs, we sort of give you this high-level overview of what happened in a given set of flows. So that would be a good way for people that haven't used Bro before to perhaps really start to understand the power behind this platform.
Let's talk a little bit more about the community and who's involved with creating patches and how it's all governed. How many core developers would you say there are for Bro?
In terms of core developers, we have some pass through where people come and go, and there are students that come through from UC Berkeley sometimes. But I guess in terms of dedicated developers, there's maybe 5, 6. Something around there. It's a very small group of people, honestly.
And then how many people have commit access or patch access, or is it all filtered by the core?
That's a little complicated. We run things a little different. Like, we don't use GitHub for our actual coordination. We push our repository there so that people can use that if they want. But we have a separate one that we manage using GitOlite. And we have right now 3 merge masters for our master branch in Git. So there's sort of this concept of people that are merge masters and then people that can commit directly into our centralized repository, sort of. And we just have mechanisms for doing that. But yeah, there's 3 merge masters right now, and we want to get up to 4 eventually. But
and are you getting a lot of people providing patches or at least feature requests from outside that group then?
Unfortunately less than I think anyone would like. But as you guys sort of led on to earlier, it is actually a pretty big, complicated system. So a lot of times it does take a while before anyone gets up to speed to even be able to like ask for stuff, because they really have no idea what to ask for. And it's so easy now for people to start using Bro that just the base using it and sort of turning network traffic into a database is very simple. But then taking that next step and really understanding it at a deeper level is much more complicated.
But Randall, beyond building the platform itself, which is what the core team tries to focus on, there is a very quickly growing community of people that are building apps that run on top of this platform. So if you go to GitHub, for example, I think it was 2 years ago, Seth, what was it? It was Bro was the 87th most popular language on GitHub.
Something.
And now it's like the 78th or something. So
GitHub stopped doing those language rankings, unfortunately, so we don't know anymore.
Yeah. Anecdotally, though, we do see a lot of new people at some of the nation's most well-known security companies, you know, dropping scripts out. These are the developers that are responsible for building or working with other tools, and they're actually contributing scripts back out to our community itself. So I think that if you just go to Git and just start browsing around for the Bro programming language, you can start to see this growing community of people that are building cool things to run on it, which is, I think, what most users would be more concerned with. It's like the difference between building Linux and writing things to run on top of Linux. There's the Bro platform, which is what the team focuses on building itself. This is the work that is primarily funded by the National Science Foundation. And then there's the separate task of building programs and things that run on top of there.
Which is the great thing about having your own language, because you can do that. Do you think the uptick that you're seeing in interest is because of what's been going on recently around the both the NSA as well as Heartbleed? You know, do you think that those things are the cause?
I think the real reason for the uptick is twofold. The first is that I think that people have finally come to the realization that we need a different approach to security specifically, but these other networking spaces in general. You know, the idea that you can buy $200,000 appliances for every network connection you have is just unrealistic for most people's networks or budgets. So there's this understanding that we need different tools to solve today's problems. Attackers will abuse, you know, the protocols themselves and the metadata and also the contents. So we need tools that can sort of statefully operate and understand on both. The second is that Bro has been amazing for a really long time. But as a community, I think for a long time we overlooked the fact that it's not just enough to build world-class security products. We also have to go out of our way and make a distinct effort to build a world-class community around those products. So starting last year, we started going out to pretty much any security conference that will have us and offering free Bro crash courses, which gets people over this initial hump, which is the hardest part about Bro, just understanding that it's a fundamentally different approach to the problem space than all the other tools that you're used to using.
And Liam, you guys have your own conference too now, right?
We do. We have BroCon that's coming up in August of 2014. You can find details right on our webpage. This year's event will be held at Champaign-Urbana, Illinois. And if you go right to bro.org, you'll also see right down the side of the page a list of upcoming events where we're teaching free workshops, talks, and training. As a team, we also operate the Bro channel on Freenode. You can find us on Twitter. And, of course, there's a whole YouTube channel linked right off of bro.org as well that has, I think, at this point, close to 100 hours of training videos and videos that walk you through using Bro for a variety of use cases, network monitoring, security, intelligence application, and so forth.
Right. There's a couple questions from chat. I've got a few more, but I want to get to these questions from chat before we lose them here. So B. Swift on chat has a couple questions. He says, does it capture the entire packet? I know you said you inspected the packets, but does it actually capture and store the entire packet or just the headers?
No, Bro is not really written to be a bulk packet recorder. We do have a separate project, actually, that is built to be a bulk packet recorder. Unfortunately, there hasn't been work done on it in a while, but there are some sites that use it to really good effect. But the trick there is that it's a bulk packet recorder that conveniently Bro can talk to. So you could actually write eventually we'll get this all sorted out, but you'll be able to write scripts in Bro that can actually go to this other thing called Time Machine and tell it, you know, oh, this connection, I want you to save the packets there, even if those packets were older, like had happened 2 minutes ago or 4 minutes ago or 10 minutes ago. You could tell them, oh, save those off. I might want to look at those later.
And then I'm assuming in terms of what you are capturing, the analysis and things, you can probably adjust the time, how long you want to keep those files and all that. I'm sure that's built in, right?
Yeah. In Bro, it's generally that nothing is kept. It's all sort of moved on. You know, a packet comes in, it's whatever process it needs to go through, and then it's thrown out, and the next packet comes in, and it's thrown out. So there's a lot of state being kept through that process to make sure you can do stream reassembly and do a lot of other things. But and you certainly have the option of writing out, like, transcripts of connections or extracting files, for instance, to disk is another fairly easy one to turn on, where you could literally just say, take all the files out of, like, here's a bunch of packets, get all the files out of there for protocols that are understood.
Right.
Yeah.
I know we probably should have, maybe this is a question for you, Liam. I know we probably should have brought this up in the beginning, but, I mean, who else do you compete with? Who do you typically see? If a customer is going to implement this in their environment, they're looking at Bro, and then they're also maybe looking at, I know, like, Alien Vault has come up, I think, in the chat. I mean, who else does this compete with?
We're typically installed side by side, you know, adjacent to a lot of other technologies. Because we're not a gateway, you know, we will typically be in next to all of the usual suspects. But Bro brings something new and completely different to your network, with the ability to scale to these tremendous network speeds, the flexibility in the platform, the ability to customize scripts and target very specific fine-grained controls, or the ability to apply controls across things globally at a very high level. So I don't think that while there are similar technologies out there, I think when you look at what Bro really brings to the table, which is protocol analyzers with a domain-specific programming language, I think that we kind of have this space all to ourselves over here.
Right, right. And then I know you gave us a couple of educational examples, or at least Seth did earlier, in terms of the Ohio State University. I have to say it correctly because you guys are from Ohio.
Of course.
But it's Bro-Ohio.
There's a law.
There is, actually, yeah. But you could get hit over the head in Ohio if you don't say the Ohio State University. But, I mean, is it mainly in the educational space or that we see this? Or do you guys also have implementation examples from, big corporate networks and those kinds of things?
With our commercial consulting group, we're already working with three Fortune 20s on some pretty massive deployments. Clients and other people that we know of that are using it include federal agencies, small businesses. I mean, Bro is one of the key tools that's behind the open source distro Security Onion. Mm. So anybody that's using Security Onion is relying chiefly on Bro. Bro's also at RSA this year, I thought about doing Spot the Bro on my Twitter feed, because Bro is the engine behind a lot of the commercial products that are out on the market. Once you become familiar with what Bro does and Bro logs, you'll start to see Bro all over the place.
Right, right. I mean, I can't believe I haven't really run into this much, or if I have, maybe I didn't understand, because when you hear someone say Bro, you just think that they're talking to their buddy, right, or something.
Right.
So maybe I just didn't pick up on it quite as I should have. But I mean, this is really interesting stuff. By the way, I mean, we can't let this go any longer. The name Bro, I mean, is it because of Berkeley? Does the B stand for something about Berkeley? Where does this name come from?
No, it's not an acronym. It's actually, if you go, Vern Paxson wrote a paper about Bro in 1998, and it was published. It's one of these like top 1% papers that's cited over 3,000 times or something. But he actually laid out in there, it was a tongue-in-cheek reference to Big Brother. Because it's a very, I mean, Bro is very much a dual use tool. It can be used for really great effect from a defensive perspective. But unfortunately, you can't ignore the fact that it can also be used from the other perspective of active spying and intense monitoring. So,
yeah,
Aaron, Vern was very prescient in his paper. He actually said it was an Orwellian nod. When he called it Bro, he kind of foresaw a lot of the things that were happening today, 20 years later. When you really start to look at, the academic community that drives forward a lot of the core research that manifests itself downstream years later as actual technologies that we as incident responders and security professionals and network administrators use on a day-to-day basis, Vern and ICSI and Robin Summer and some of these other people really do drive the whole space forward with some of their papers. And their papers are very, very easy to read and understand. They have this wonderful paper out very recently within last year about DNS-based exfiltration. And they really hit the nail on the head with the paper. I cannot wait to get those techniques into the Bro platform.
And do you guys, when someone jokes about it, about the name, do you guys like recoil? I actually think it's a good thing, right? Bro has kind of come back into the vernacular, and bra and all that. I mean, maybe the programming language should be called bra. I don't know. But,
well,
are you guys like, oh, I hate it when they bring up that joke. I've heard that joke a million times. Or are you guys like, oh, this is great? Because actually, from a marketing perspective, I do a lot of marketing in my day job. I think it's brilliant marketing now, because you can play off that so easily.
The name actually lends itself just towards a lot of wordplay,
yeah,
generally. And internally in the team for years and years, we've made all sorts of jokes about the name and used it in weird ways. And like Brovelopers, there's all sorts of things like that. But the one thing that we actively try to avoid and we'll take steps to try and get people to sort of stop is if it's used in sort of the misogynistic sense of, there's a lot of other, there's sort of two sides to the word where it could be used in sort of this more recent form that I don't think any of us on the core team really like, and we try to avoid that. But in terms of just wordplay, it's actually an open season on that.
Aaron, I embrace it 100%. And actually, when I teach classes, the first thing I ask everyone to do is to come up with their bro name. And I tell you what, I've got some really crazy ones over the years. I had an FBI agent the other day come up with BroboCop. And then there was another one that was Rambro was his name as well. And he's like, you know, I'm going to go in and take all the traffic and find all the things, you know.
That's awesome.
So I think that you're absolutely right. From a marketing perspective, you know, it is what it is. It actually, if the name itself has a lot of meaning when you look at it in the context of the name of the product and mm-hmm. what the capabilities of the platform are. So the best choice that we have is just to take it and run with it.
Yeah.
So earlier we talked about the idea that maybe you don't have much contribution to the core, the lowest level stuff, and you have a very small handful of people that actually do that. But this next level up of sharing bro recipes or whatever you call them, bro programs, is there a common repository for that, or are people just sort of announcing it on their own and sharing it as they want?
Unfortunately, that is the state of affairs at the moment. We've actually had a project page that we've been sort of designing this for a while, something akin to CPAN or Ruby Gems or mm-hmm. Python's pip. That'll probably be coming to Bro eventually. It's hard to figure out the thing because Bro tends to get used differently than other programming languages. We can't just directly copy mechanisms from other communities and then reapply them to Bro. So unfortunately, it just takes some time. But yeah, the plan long run is to have some sort of package management in place.
And so I'm thinking of this again in terms of a parallel to being a like a virus scanner, where like virus vulnerabilities, zero-day things that come out, mm-hmm. they need immediate and quick notification to get downloaded by everybody so they're all running those. It would seem also that it would be really useful to have an announced mechanism for that with related to Bro recipes. In terms of, you know, we just figured out how to notice when heartbeat is happening. Here's the recipe for it.
Well, Randall, the nice thing about Bro is that it gives you a whole variety of detection mechanisms are at your disposal. So, for example, one of the amazing things that Seth got into Bro last year was the Intel framework. And this is this sort of plug-in architecture that lets you take specific types of intelligence like IP addresses, domain names, IPv6, you know, whatever, and look for them in all the places that they actually exist in network traffic. So if you give Bro a domain name, for example, and put it in the Intel framework, it doesn't just look in DNS requests and replies. It also looks inside those X509 certificates for SSL certificates. It looks inside the host header for HTTP and other places and protocols where these things may exist. So atomic-based intelligence is one approach. When you get into the more complicated Bro scripts, like say writing, a very complicated, like implementing a domain generation algorithm in Bro, there is always this long tail of network traffic that we have to be concerned about, and that everyone's network is different. And a policy that you could scale and is appropriate for one network may not be appropriate on a different one. So when Seth mentioned that there are some challenges to how Bro is implemented as a programming language, it really comes back to the specific, all the huge variety and flexibility of Bro leads to a huge variety of actual specific deployment scenarios. So we need to be very careful with our community about how we roll these things out and give them sort of the tuning points for saying, hey, here's the whole range of detections you have for finding this particular problem in your network today. Which one is most appropriate for your situation?
Are you at the level where you might have user communities that meet across organizations but within a region?
I think so. I mean, the Bro channel online is very busy. Certainly here in Cincinnati, there is a very large community of people that are developing things around Bro. And we, you know, have worked at the usual suspects of, you know, industry players and so forth. So Bro being BSD just sort of lends itself to people implementing and using it everywhere. I think that we are not, I think on our growth, we're here and we're still going way up here. Bro is absolutely just exploding as a technology, as people get exposed to this and are typically blown away by what Bro does just out of the box.
And you just mentioned that it's a BSD license. That means that it probably has been absorbed into some of these other security products, as you mentioned. Is that of were you aware of why BSD license was chosen in the first place?
Seth?
Well, I mean, it was chosen. It was out of Berkeley, and most of the I think most of the things that Vern's ever done are BSD licensed. It's kind of the license that researchers like because it's the you know, I don't care license.
Yeah. It just gives you enough rights to do what you want to with it, which is what everybody wants anyway.
Yeah.
What language is this all written in?
Primarily C++, but there are at least right now three parsers in Bro. So there, Bro actually encompasses a lot of languages, and there are two more that are coming. So, and those actually, I guess those are written in C++ too. But there's a big thing in our community about custom languages, because honestly, the problems are so specialized that general purpose languages are too general in some sense, I guess.
True. Sorry, I'm reading something else and trying to think of what I want to say next. Let's talk a bit about Broala. How do you pronounce it? Broala? What is
that's
that?
Correct. Yeah. Broala. Broala is the group that's spun up around the core team of Bro, whose mm-hmm. mission is to bring more to Bro. And we do that through training new developers, developing products around Bro, allowing corporations to get service and support from engineers that have commit access on their repository, and by giving people a mechanism to sponsor analyzers, which is essentially saying that if you have the funding, you can prioritize when features get into Bro. Examples of engagements would be, we have a client that's currently spending $15 million a year on their Oracle security. And they are interested in sponsoring an Oracle analyzer for the Bro platform. So we are presently negotiating with them to bring an Oracle analyzer to the Bro platform at a dramatically less cost than what they're paying. And the idea is that once you get this analyzer in there, then you have this full power and range and flexibility of the Bro programming language to bring to bear on the specific problems.
Very cool. And I guess then that then would lead to my next question, which is, then who decides the roadmap? Is it the small team of core members then?
I guess frequently the roadmap for core Bro ends up getting kind of set by Robin Summer and I, but there's a lot of discussion still, you know, in a larger sense within the group that decides the roadmap. It's hard though, because we've always run into the issue where Bro is complicated enough that it's very hard to get suggestions externally. It's sort of like what you want to do is get people to say what they wish they could do and what they want, but then you ignore that and do what they actually want, and they didn't know that that's what they weren't asking for. We've done.
Can I give you guys an amazing example of that? And this is Sure. This is one of the things that really pulled me into the team. So this was at the Bro Exchange 2 or 3 years ago. There were a bunch of us power users of Bro sitting around Seth and saying, Seth, this was back in Bro 2.1 or 2.0. We were like, there was a new file event that happens over HTTP, and a new file event that happens over SMTP, and a new file event that happened over IRC. And you know, we would turn on, say, executable extraction for all four analyzers. And we're like, Seth, we want more of these file analyzers. And he's like, no, he's like, I think what you really want is a better base abstraction, where instead of saying, you know, getting a new file event for each one of these sub protocols here, what you would really get is this new file event that just fires on the network. And then if you care about where specifically that file came from, then you can care about it when you're implementing your policy scripts. And that is a great example of the Bro core team constantly striving to get to these base abstractions of what is the real big idea about what you're asking about the details behind your network. And I think that when you look at the success with some of the things that came out just in the last year, the Intel framework, which is similar, and the files framework, both of those were just knocked right out of the park. It's just like the idea when you're using it, it just feels right. I want to be able to say, take all of the PDFs and do this thing, and I don't really care what protocol they're on, what port they're on, if they came in via IPv4, IPv6, or if they were in a Teredo tunnel, or whatever the case would be. It just feels right when you're challenged, you know, trying to deal with the challenges of today's networks.
And somebody actually has just asked on the channel, and that kind of capture, you're capturing these file events or whatever it is, regardless of where it is that capturing the entire thing for you to analyze later, or is it just the metadata?
Yeah, you can extract the full file right out. You know, the idea behind Bro here that I think people are getting confused about is that, you know, you have 100% of your traffic would be here. You know, this is everything that's happening on the wire. Bro gives you access to all 100% in real time, you know, as things are happening. So if you wanted to say extract a file, you would tell Bro to pick out this piece and go ahead and just write it out to disk. And Bro can do that very easily. By default, one of the things that we're doing is we're taking this 100% of traffic and we're writing a very descriptive, detailed log about all of the protocols that we speak. And there's notice logs which describe particular events that would happen. Say that we saw somebody trying to brute force SSH or something like that. And then later we saw the known SSH brute forcer actually successfully authenticate to a host.
Wow, cool. I imagine this is internationalized, language, local stuff?
No. Bro is primarily English. It was actually something I was thinking about a few weeks ago, mechanisms we could build in that would allow for internationalization. But generally, that's not something that we've approached yet.
Well, I was just
the other parts of Bro are just complicated enough that it's hard to sort of add in extra stuff like that.
Well, but what we can tell you is that our Git repo and our downloads reflect that Bro is used globally.
Yeah, well, it is sort of nice that English became the accidental, you know, first language of technology. So I appreciate that, given that I barely speak two other languages. Well, I speak hundreds of programming languages, but I mean, I only speak two other human languages. So it's and even then, just pidgin Spanish and even smaller pidgin, tiny pidgin. Portuguese. So anyway, I was trying to look for some sort of vehicle, though, that if people want to contribute to this project and aren't, I guess, at the level of the scripts, writing scripts and stuff. But I was thinking maybe there's other things like documentation, amplification, or maybe translation. But it sounds like if you're not set up for translation, I can't actually ask any volunteers coming forward for that. Right.
Yeah, that would be nice someday to actually have that and sort of integrate with one of the online translation systems where people can really easily provide translations for stuff. But yeah, unfortunately, we're just not quite at that point yet. But that
Randall,
is actually a nice idea.
There are loads of things that people can volunteer to do. You know, we need help getting the message out, advocacy, demonstrations, even just using Bro and reporting feedback back helps to close this valuable development loop that we have here. You know, if you find that there's a feature that you want in Bro or have, you know, some novel ideas, hop on our mailing list. You can go right to bro.org and sign up and look and see what features you can suggest out there. Hop on the IRC channel. And have people help in real time, you know, get your feet wet with Bro. If you look at our YouTube channel, there are dozens of videos that can help you understand the semantics of the programming language, you know, like how do I use the various variable types, how do I, you know, do loops and so forth. So I think that there's with such a capable product as to where we are today, with such a relatively with so much growth left in the ecosystem, there's just a ton of opportunity.
Awesome, too. We're almost out of time, but is there anything that we haven't covered yet that you want to make sure gets covered before we wrap up?
I don't know. It's really hard. It's really hard to pick one thing.
What? Oh, so there's too many we didn't cover. Oh, usually we have the other problem where the guests can't figure out what we haven't covered yet because we talk about a lot of stuff.
I've got a quick question, which is what is coming up in the beta? Why should I use the beta? What's coming up? We talk about governance for roadmap, but what's actually in the roadmap?
The 2.3 release, we've kind of accidentally fallen into this TikTok release model. We have like a release that has really major, major additions or changes, and then we'll have this release that follows up that sort of smaller improvements. The 2.3 release has a lot of bug fixes in it and some memory issues that we've identified with a few frameworks in Bro, where if you run it at a really high volume, there will be some issues with stuff. I can't think off the top of my head of any like major new functionality, but there has been a lot of stuff that's gone into this. One of the biggest things you can do usually is read the changes file or the news file, because we usually try to keep those updated in the release tarball. So you can actually see what changed. And honestly, the changes log goes back to, I think, 1999. So you can actually follow Bro back for quite a few years.
Cool. Well, we really are out about a time. I have two questions that I don't ask every guest I get email on. So we'll go first with Liam. What's your favorite scripting language?
Oh, definitely Bro.
Oh, right. I guess that one. That's an actual option here. Yeah. Darn it.
Wait. Are you going to ask me?
Yeah, I will. Hold on. One at a time. And then Liam also, what's your favorite text editor?
I think right now I'm falling into Sublime a lot.
Okay. Well, that's good. All right. Same questions for you.
Bro and Sublime Text. There's an editor mode for Sublime Text I wrote that does Bro, so it supports the language.
Oh, nice.
Wow, cool. All right, well, guys, I think we probably could have gone in another hour or so to keep expanding on this stuff. And I know there's a lot of YouTube videos and stuff people can look at, and there's conferences people can go to. So I know we'll probably have a fresh round of people that all be interested in this thing. So thank you guys both for coming on the show and talking about Bro.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having us. A lot of great questions today.
Very cool. That was Liam Randall, no relation, and Seth Hall on the show. What do you think, Aaron?
You know, it's great. This is another one of those shows that, you know, I look at the show and I'm like, I don't know. It kind of sounds, maybe it's going to be a boring show. You know, who wants to talk about this networking stuff? And then it's like, holy crap, this is the best thing. How did I not know about this? Bro, what's going on? I mean, I think this is great. I mean, the great thing about this, especially from a marketing aspect, is, you know, you can tell someone who's interested in this, just go run it. It's not going to kill you. It's not going to hurt you. It runs passively. So if you're not sure you like it, or if you're using something else and you're not sure if you should do this or that or what, just go put it on a server that you've got stuck in the corner somewhere and try it out. See what you get out of it. I mean, it's just one of those things that's really easy to experiment with. So why not? I love projects like that you just throw in the corner and you know, kind of test the waters. And before you know it, it's like one of the most important things in your infrastructure.
Well, you know, one of the things I'm curious about, I installed pretty much every single cloud thing that was free in terms of cloud storage, because I was trying to find the one that would sync across multiple machines easily, maybe even sync down to my iPhone. And I ended up using Jada Cloud as my primary one, primarily because they're based in NL. Where's that? No. Northland? Wait, what country is NL? I can't remember.
Don't ask me. I'm horrible with those.
Oh, my God. No. Anyway, apparently there's high... Oh, maybe it's Norway. Wherever it is, they got high privacy rules. NL's the Netherlands. It's not that. It's Norway, so Norway. I really like that. And I also know it really syncs quickly. But that's all beside the point. I've installed maybe like 10 or 12 of these things. And so my system is constantly scrubbing through all the files and figuring out what it has to sync up with. And I was actually curious about how many different times these things are actually connecting up with things. And I could probably run Bro in the background and start writing these rules to say, if you're connecting up with a machine and I'm not actually touching anything right now, then maybe that's one of these sync up things that are happening in the background. So, but again, this is one of these projects that I look at it, I do the show, and I go, I want to go play with this now. And guess what? I'll have no time to look at it this week or next week or the week after that. So I have to go... have to go back around and start all over again. So.
Put it on your to-do list.
The to-do list in my Tickler program, I have you can keep moving it forward. Like I just do a start date of 2 weeks later, then 2 weeks later, and 2 weeks later, and then I have a category called maybe someday. And about 2/3 of my things have been moved forward so many times that I just put them in the maybe someday link, and then it's never going to get to it. This would be one of those after about 6 weeks. Anyway, speaking of 6 weeks, let's talk about some upcoming guests. Next week, we have Buddy Cloud, which is chat, file sharing, and social activity infrastructure. When you build your site out, you want to have all that added to your site. They provide both open source software, so you can build it right in, or they provide a platform as a service for that. New to the list, and they've been on the list a couple weeks, but I just kept missing them when I was going through the people I want to talk about, is Turnkey Linux. Apparently, that's some sort of build it from the ground up sort of Linux distro maker. I think that's what it is. I'm not much into Linux. I'll tell everything all the time. After that, we have Tonika, which is a platform for social networks, kind of like a meta Facebook or something. So you can build out your own social network, and maybe you could even use Buddy Cloud with that. I don't know. And then we do have, for our 300th episode, which will be 4 episodes from now, we're making plans now. We're going to bring on something very interesting. It's going to be a very special Floss Weekly, but I have no idea what we're doing. It may just be four or five of us sitting around chatting. I don't know what we're going to do yet, but we will do that. Q2, of course, is full now, so I'm opening Q3 soon. If you go to twit.tv/floss, which is the homepage for this show, you can see all the upcoming guests scheduled and all the ones I'm actually working on these days to bring them into those schedules. So I open up some more dates. You can follow us at Floss Weekly on Google+ and Floss Weekly on Twitter. And you'll get timely announcements about things that are going on, including who I'm booking. And follow me at Merlyn, M-E-R-L-Y-N, as on Twitter. I'm on Google+, though, more often. It's Randall L. Schwartz. Got a lot of stuff going on there about my continued use of ketogenic dieting as my way of eating for the rest of my life, and a lot of things in that area. 2 weeks from now, 2 weeks from today, in fact, if you're watching the live show, 2 weeks from the day this show is released, if you're not, we'll be in London on June 11th. I'm there for yet another cruise, leaving from there a couple days later. We're going to meet up at the Kensington Gardens area. It's at the Goat Pub, G-O-A-T. Of course, I'll be posting that on Google+ and things like that, so you'll have more details about that. And I've just got confirmation that Dan Lynch is also going to be there. He'll be there sort of in the afternoonish time, but I'm going to be there sort of all evening. So hang out there if you want. It's actually adjacent to my hotel, so it makes it really convenient there. And let's see, I think that's everything I want to plug. We're running over time, but Aaron, you want anything you want to plug these days?
Yeah, you can always follow what I am doing at Google+. It's the best place to follow me. I'm Aaron Newcomb at Google+. A lot of interesting conversations. I was compiling kernels yesterday and this weekend, and you know, people were writing back and forth. Oh, did you try this? Did you try that? It's always fun to talk to people on Google+. So, and if you like posts about compiling kernels, hey, follow me there. Not everybody does, but you can also follow me on the various shows here at the Twit Network, where I help out All About Android, This Week in Google, so on and so forth. You know, also, if you're in the Solano County area of California, you can go to BenishaMakerspace.org. That's the makerspace we started, and we're getting our physical space up and running, but we're doing public meetings now, which is great. We were down at Maker Faire, actually. I guess it was 2 weekends ago now. We were down at Maker Faire and talked to a ton of people that were interested in makerspaces. I mean, that the whole makerspace movement is really picking up speed now, and it's really fun to see all these great resources. It's really becoming – I was talking to our town council last night. It's really becoming more of a local library in your town, right? So you've got a library for books. And then you got a library for technology and innovation, and that's the makerspace. So,
very cool.
Yeah, really cool stuff. So definitely check out what we're doing with the makerspace if you're interested.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Well, I'm just about out of time, as I keep saying, because I can hear that music coming up behind me. So we'll see you all again next week on Floss Weekly.